But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
It has begun.
It has begun. This is the way.
The dawn of a new era.
It's been a long time since the cage came back to shine.
Here comes the West, man.
It's been a long time.
Cage Cousins.
What's
party,
up?
Party people, men and women and children of the planet Earth.
Elders, senior statesmen and women.
Cousins, family members, sisters and brothers.
Fellow Americans and lady Americans.
We are back. Cage Against the Machine presents Round Zero.
Zero. The cipher, son.
The cipher. No beginning or no ending.
Before Alpha and after Omega.
Thank you.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
I love this, brother. Good to see you. Happy 2020.
Man. Hey, man. Good to see you.
Yeah. We had a lot to do. Before we get into it, I want to explain what we're doing. We are Cage Against the Machine, and what Cage Against the Machine is, we take the energy of a hip-hop crew and apply it to the wellness. We bring minds from all walks of life to use martial arts to teach you how to make your body a place that is comfortable and is energetic and healing at any given time. We have spent a great deal of time doing stuff around media,
yep.
Entrepreneurship,
yep.
90s hip-hop culture,
mm-hmm.
And we are excited about helping you find the rebirth that both myself, my co-hosts, everybody involved, and handing it to the next generation. I'm the Sweet MBA.
I'm a decent bishop, not me.
And you should check him out on his own podcast called
Bishop Chronicles. And you can follow me on IG at Bishop Chronicles. We're on Spotify, iTunes, etc. We just did a really cool new episode with The Architect. If you know West Coast hip hop and the boom bap era, that's all we talk about, man. It's very powerful. If you like Stone's Throw, if you like Planet Asia, you know what I mean. Peanut Butter Wolf, you know what I mean. It's West Coast Bay hip hop, not me.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
What we do here in Round Zero, what it's called, why it's called Round Zero, is we teach you how to watch UFC.
A lot of people don't know how to do that. You just see fools swinging and pushing each other up in the cages, and you don't get it.
Rolling,
so we're kind of like helping you figure out what makes a fight good and what's happening and who's making it happen.
Absolutely. And we want you to use the training techniques that are being used week to week from these fighters over 9 weeks to get them ready for the fight that you could use in your everyday to improve your life, whether that's...
In the office,
the warehouse.
With your kid? Like, not that you'd like knee your kid in the chest, like, bah.
Nah,
but like, the idea of it.
Right. Get out of that truck you're driving and stretch a little bit. We want to make this accessible to you. So we're going to do a little bit of news and catch up.
Yeah.
We're going to predict some fights. We're going to do the main event, and then we'll give you a little bit tip to hold on to for the next month.
Yeah.
So that way you can take some of this learning home.
Yeah.
Season 3, this is acceptable. This is great. We're happy to be here. We call it season 3, but we've been around much longer than that. But I feel like we...
The official.
We are official now, and we feel like we perfected our method a little bit better.
Word is bond.
I don't do this by myself aside from my co-hosts. Honorable mention... co-founder Brain Damage cannot be here tonight. Our web production and analytics is done by Josh Shia at Shia Productions. Special shout out to our missing brother who's still going through some health issues, Dr. J.K. Atkins. We miss you dearly. A lot of people have worked hard to get us here. And one person who always works very hard to get us here every month, our producer, editor, special effects, the man behind the camera, the magic, Deshaun Davis from Dream Ear. Clap it up for him.
Dream Ear, bruh.
And we are here in the dungeon where all great treasure is created. So, without further ado, let's catch up with some news. It is 2020.
2020, bruh. Vision, boy.
What 2020 vision? What are you excited about for the UFC in this year? What is some news? What are things you're thinking about?
you know what? I'm you know, as much as I genuinely kind of like don't like this dude, I'm interested to see what McGregor brings back to MMA. Yeah. You know why? Because until he went out of his way to be so disrespectful to my Dagestan partner, bro. You know what I mean? Until he went out of his way to do that, I have been a fan of his work ethic.
You didn't think he was disrespectful to Aldo?
I mean, he was, but I don't know. It was something about when he disrespected Khabib. I just fair. Changed up.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
Fair.
But there was a documentary on Netflix, I think, that I watched on him, and I liked him.
Straight up.
I liked him. I liked his work ethic. You know why? Because when you would watch the documentary, they would be like, it'd be a scene and be like, all right, well, what happened? Well, it looks like he hurt his knee. We're not sure what should happen. And be like, the next day, heavy bag.
Right.
Boom, boom.
Right.
I was like, yo, this dude does not care. They'd be like, oh, your fight, it looks like it's going to be canceled the next day. Heavy bag. Boom, boom, boom. And I was like, how can you not respect that dude?
Right. Or you didn't have enough cardio for Nate the first time. Okay, I'll get on my bike and ride 10 miles.
In the
desert heat.
Yeah, like he'll do it. So I'm excited about his return. I know a lot of people genuinely, you know, hate him. I don't hate any of these fighters at all. Like I'm not that invested.
Speaking of hate, do you hate Colby Covington?
I don't hate Colby Covington. You know why? Because he lost.
If
he would have won, I might hate him.
I'm not a...
But he got mopped, bruh.
I'm not trying to be an ideologue.
Yeah.
I do enjoy when I'm right, and I'm right more than I'm wrong.
True.
I feel like we called that fight down the line.
Ooh.
I tried to... First of all, let's talk about some news. Cage Cousins. I told you last year, 2019, I told you about three things. Okay?
He really did this, though.
I did tell you. I said, watch for a kid named Israel Adesanya. You now have a champ.
Early.
I said, watch for his homie, Dan Hooker. Now he's headlining a card in Auckland.
Come on.
Watch for Alex Volkanovski. And now you know, two belts, 1 year, City Kickboxing.
He called it, though.
Because I got nothing but love.
He called it, though.
For New Zealand.
And I wasn't a doubter. I just wasn't sure. But he knew.
And how did I know? I followed the signs. That doesn't make me an expert. I do my homework a little bit. So that was interesting. Kamaru Usman, my number one pick in my fantasy league.
Nice.
He's going to do great things this year. Unfortunately, though, I felt like he lost two rounds against Colby until he changed up the game.
Let's be
like,
really...
Like, I called it. Like, I was worried.
Let's be honest, man.
I said, if he makes it a striking war and he plays that game and doesn't wrestle, we're going to have problems.
Well, it was deep because if you looked at Kamaru's IG page.
Yep.
Mentally, he did what he should have done, which was to show himself wrestling dynamically.
Yeah.
In a way that Colby would say, ooh, I'm not sure I want it with him like
right,
that.
Right, right,
right. And then my thought would he's used the hands
yes.
and the legs to work him out. However, if you watch the fight, he didn't use his legs.
At all. He didn't kick once.
And I was like, blood, what are you doing? You're supposed to use
he didn't kick
to
once.
Command the distance. And Colby was catching him. On that right cheek.
Bro.
Way too
and
much.
And Colby could have broke his jaw.
Way too much.
Man. And it,
way
it,
too much.
And it was interesting. His style was he was wrestling with his hands.
Right.
He turned his boxing into wrestling.
Yeah.
Which was admirable.
It was deep.
Exciting.
It was deep.
It made me want to scramble. But, again, I think people keep, and this is a lesson, you know, and this applies to business, too. If you get so caught up in your passion that you want to prove a point, you will lose the battle.
Man,
you're
that
trying to win the battle in the war, man. You got
to,
like, what's the tactic that will win this going? You don't always have to be right. You have to win.
I got a really good friend named Sean McClure. He's been a homie of mine for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
And he's a real big Colby fan.
Okay.
And he's someone who's like, yo, that's not how Colby the actual person is.
No, right,
you know
right,
what
right.
I'm saying?
Yep.
And he knows him.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever, blood, I don't care, blood. Like, he went out of pocket too much. He needed to get that jaw broke. But he was like, but you can't lie. He's a great fighter. And I acknowledge Colby Covington is a great fighter. But you know what, though? I'm glad he got mopped. I hope his jaw heals up. And I look forward to him coming back and getting mopped all over again. I do.
Yeah, and that the challenge is, I feel like when he comes back, the next person he fights, I don't know that he'll get mopped again. You know what I mean?
But here's the other part of it, though, too, is as good as a fighter as he is, I actually think part of the reason he didn't do so well is I don't think his camp was that good. I think though he was doing all this, Trump stuff, MAGA hats, I think in his brain, with the chaos of his training, he wasn't getting the time and the technique in, so he went in pushing all passion, and passion doesn't win fights.
Right. I mean,
it can get you through some rough moments in a fight, but, man.
Yeah, I think the people who got him to the dance won't mess with him anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the Poirier, thing. So he's got Masvidal. To switch. Like, he's got to really say, okay, well, who's going to be on my team? Who's going to cultivate me as a fighter? Yep. Who's going to push me and make me grow in the areas that I'm weak at, right?
Yeah.
And if he can do that, and a lot of wrestlers, quite honestly, are mentally strong, in theory, he should be able to do all the above.
To switch topics with you a little bit, two things that I'm very excited about for 2020, the return of Anthony Rumble Johnson.
I don't know what to think of him. Like, I'm a fan.
I don't know either.
But personally, he seems like his life is chaotic, bro. And I guess I shouldn't care. I should only really care, you know, what happens in the cage.
But
when you see his life, you're like, damn, dude, like, what is going on, blood? Like, you need a hug? What's happening, bud? Like, for real. And, like, I'm not playing.
Or maybe he just needs to make better choices around the people he dates. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, blood.
And maybe doesn't realize that these people like drama. The other one that I'm very excited about the return of is Thug Rose Namajunas.
Oh, my God.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I'm not worried about her facing Jessica again. But to see her back
is a beauty in itself.
It moves my soul.
Yeah.
That's my kid.
I always want her to win.
That's my mofo, man.
I always want her to win.
That's my kid, man. Yeah. So that's really exciting. I've said it before and I'll say it again. There's so many reasons why I support UFC, aside from being a martial artist myself and giving me kind of juice every month to train really hard. I love the fact that the company is owned 20% by people who look like everybody on the show.
Yeah.
I love the ability for it to change perceptions of people. But ever since the sale, the shows have gotten better and better. And for the 4 months that I can see of UFC, every main card is incredible now.
Barn burning mayhem.
And this one is no different, man. So we got some major things.
You know, the year is starting off fresh, bro. They did it right, bro.
They did. There's so much to look forward to. So let's talk about some cool things in a minute before we get into it. Some previews. If you've been checking our site and you're like, what the heck is going on? Why haven't you updated in a while? We're rebuilding our site. We got some new cool things.
A lot of new stuff.
We're going to get this guy a YouTube channel soon. Oh, and Double D assures me, we're coming with Cage t-shirts. We're done talking about it. It's a couple months out. We're going to get some stuff going. We're probably going to start a little campaign too. We're going to ask you for a little bit of money to support our show every month. But other than that, we're just going to keep giving you this high-value quality content. In the meantime,
deep dive.
We're going to take a little bit of a break. What I want you to do is, if you're watching on YouTube, I need you to subscribe.
Okay? Subscribe.
Click and subscribe. Like and subscribe.
Get them updates. Yeah, hit that little thumb up, bro.
You listen to audio, okay? I need you to subscribe, okay? If you're already subscribed, I need you to share this. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Tell a friend to tell a friend, right?
Just put it in your story. Just like click the story, bam, and be like, follow, bro. That's what it is.
And we will guarantee you nothing but the best. We're going to be right back in a minute. Holler at your mans. I just want you to know, hey, where I've been, where I'm about to go. We are back. It's called Breath Control. How low can you go? What a brother, no. Back again, incredible. The rhyme animal. That's Public Enemy.
Come on, man.
It's Public Enemy.
Number one.
Come on, you guys. Do your history. We're not going anywhere. We're going to have guests this season. We're warming up for y'all.
Oh, man, guests are going to be hot this year.
Really, really excited about some of the people we're bringing in, some luminaries, and it all comes full circle. Plenty of stories for you. Tonight, we're going to talk about UFC 246, which is Donald Cerrone versus Conor Voldemort McGregor.
Okay.
Now, why do you call him Voldemort?
Why?
Why do you call him Sauron? We had a rule that we never said his name.
Why?
And then we broke the curse. I remember that fateful night. We sat, We held our hands. We prayed. We used our psychic
powers.
Did you
burn the candles?
We burned the candles. We had the incense. We even tried the Sebi diet. And then we were at the port space watching as Conor McGregor got touched up by Nate Diaz and decided, I can wrestle. And found himself in the middle of a Stockton choke. Okay? And it was the first strike.
I love Stockton. Shout out to Stockton.
Thank you, Stockton.
209, all of y'all. The whole 209 gets love, know what I mean?
With you know, some added Concord, Antioch, Pittsburgh in there, too.
Modesto.
That Modesto. Caesar, that Caesar Gracie.
I got some loved ones in Modesto.
Yeah. Shout out to Team Black. And then a little bit after that, you know, we saw. I'm going to try to say this right. Alhamdulillah himself.
Yes.
He was all about that. Who was talking about that I was listening to? Everlast was talking about that, where he had beef with McGregor even before the fight. Where you could see him after he beat. I forgot who he beat to get the McGregor
like Aldo
fight.
Aldo or whatever? Oh, who he beat to get to McGregor. Yeah.
Oh, no, after he beat, what's his name, Al Quinta.
Yes.
And the way he was just staring at him.
Yes.
Like, you just knew it was going down.
Yeah, so he wasn't tripping.
So now that it's like the first time it happens, that's a fluke. Mm-hmm, that's how MMA casuals do. Okay? The second time he got choked out.
Right.
With the same choke.
The same choke.
It shows a weakness.
Right.
Okay? And we know that, right? If you land the same combo
on your
sparring partner over and over again, this is a weakness. If I roll with Adisa and he chokes me out with the same choke 9 out of 10 times, I fundamentally don't understand how to defend against the choke. Yep. And that's my weakness.
Yep.
And so now he has a personality. We can say, that's McGregor. We understand. He is choke king. Cool. Before we do that, we're going to look a little bit at some of these prelims. We're not going to go as deep, but some things that I'm kind of curious and excited about. What is one fight that I care about? Let me talk to you. I don't know if I really care. But Justin Leddit, you may have remembered him for his terrible Texas haircut.
He's got a terrible Texas. He looks like an extra from like the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He looks like bumbling goon number 3 on the porch.
Agreed.
Like he looks like that. Don't beat me up, Justin, please. I'm just being silly.
Well, he can't beat you up because he can't find you, because Justin Leddit said he was going to be the first light heavyweight champion so he can expose the world to the truth that the world is flat.
Oh, he's one of those.
He is. I just don't fundamentally understand how you can learn Muay Thai from Thailand.
That's sad.
On another side of the place you live, which is circular.
It is round. And you know, it's interesting because you look up in the sky and you see that circular moon rotate around this, and you still think that you're on a flat square,
Because you don't understand perspective, so you think the Earth is flat, you don't have the perspective of when Yanni connected with your jaw and knocked you out clearly. I suspect Aleska Kimura or whatever is going to knock him out, too, for the same blind spot that he has.
Mm.
That's my prediction.
Or is he crazy like a fox and he's going to win? Unlikely. Yeah.
I don't see it. I could be wrong unless he's fun. We haven't seen him in 2 years.
That's a long break.
Yeah. And I think he just kind of needed the money and, you know, thinks he's going to come in here and do something special. I doubt it. Another one that I'm kind of curious about, I don't know much about this cat, but I suspect he's Nigerian, and that's just not because they blacked out his
right.
But Ode Osborne?
Yeah. There's no pick there right now.
There's no pick. But the guy he's fighting, Brian Keller, is a killer.
He's got hands, bro.
He does.
Deshaun, he's got hands.
Deshaun, scroll down. You can see we're really prepared.
But this is the beauty of just, you know, hanging out with your partners. You know what I mean? It's like,
we're trying to learn.
We're going to grow together. We're going to grow together.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the prelims right there. Not a lot of excitement in here, but no. I understand why, because they spent all their money at the
on
main
the
event.
On the top, the right. top half.
Right. So in terms of the that was the early prelims. Some other fights you should look at. Now the fireworks begin. Let's start with the predictions. To start off the actual prelims, we have Chaz Skelly versus Grant Dawson. Chaz is a problem. He has hands, and he's got a nasty choke.
But I could have swore like I saw Grant Dawson knock Grant, somebody out.
Grant is a problem.
Hard, though.
Yeah, like every one of these matchups is really problematic.
So like every time we see one, somebody's going home injured.
Bingo.
For sure.
Bingo. Bingo. There's not a single one of these prelims right here where it's
like whatever-ish.
Which, and I'll come back to this because it's a little problematic.
Yeah.
It seems like some of this is some contract cleanout.
Probably. And who wants it, bruh?
Yeah. Are you serious? Then you have Drew Dober versus Nasrat. I want to pronounce your last name. I
Hak
can't.
Parast.
He said it.
Hak Parast.
Believe him.
I could have got that wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
Drew Dober seems like a nice guy, but he also looks like the high school bully.
You know what? He looks like the wrestler who threw the nerd in the garbage can and then pushed it down the stairs. But
gives hella wet willies.
Yeah, dude.
Messes with you.
Slapped
at the
dude in front of his girl just
right,
to do it.
Right.
And took his milkshake, drank
nice.
It, and gave it back to him.
Real nice.
Dude. You know,
that guy. He's the reason you train martial arts, because you want to
yeah,
see him later
like,
in life
man,
and beat
I don't
want
to get beat up by Drew, so I'm going to train at
right.
Ralph Gracie's.
Right. And then 20 years later, you see him, and he's alcoholic, and you're like, I don't want to put the choke on you.
I know.
Feel bad
but
for
he's
you.
Like, come on, man.
Come on.
But then by that time, he doesn't even recognize you.
Yeah.
He's just like in front of CVS, like,
But see, meanwhile, Nasrat looks like a guy who taught himself how to read at an early age.
Yeah.
You know, but grew up kind of rough, right? And then like, was going to decide to fight his way out of, like, Kazakhstan or something. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I'm going to be one of the best in the world, Mom. For real.
Is he the Eastern European Kelvin Gastelum?
Possibly. He also looks like, remember when the people in Superman got put into the mirror thing and it flew away?
Oh,
his
yes.
beard.
The
his
Phantom
beard.
Zone.
His beard.
Yes, the one who can talk.
Yes.
Yes.
His beard. I mean, if you got to fight somebody with a beard, if they have a beard like
Superman.
That, you might not make it.
He kneel before me, son of Jor-El.
Exactly. Exactly. He looks like he can hurt you. And if I was going to bet, if that guy had to fight the high school bully.
I remember when he switched it on him and he took their powers and
exactly.
got his back.
Exactly.
And then he like crushed their hand. He's like, oh!
See?
Threw him in.
See?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna put it on Hak Parast. Just based on, he looks like the Persian version of Straight Outta Compton. He's coming out. He's trying to rep. Wherever right. he's from, he's trying to rep. He's not going out right now.
This next fight, saying. Let me tell you how excited I am. Team Alpha, formerly Alpha Male, Sacramento Zone. Andre Feely versus my number two pick, Nigerian's own of the Nigerian Mafia, Sodiq Youssef.
This puts me culturally at war with myself. I'm in a civil war.
Explain.
Well,
you
after checking in, after checking in to 23andMe, turns out I'm Nigerian.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Many are.
I'm pretty happy about that, right?
Are
shout
you
out to Nigeria and shout out to Cameroon, my people.
Oh, so you're definitely now a, what's his name? You're definitely a Francis fan.
Yes.
Double D, are you Nigerian? Nice.
You know what I'm saying? We fam, bro.
I am not.
40%. 40? But here's the deal. You already know I'm from the West. Hmm?
But
you didn't know?
You don't think.
You didn't know, bud?
You don't think this brother actually.
Listen.
He's Nigerian ethnicity.
What did Tupac say, though? What did Tupac say? He said, from Sactown, the Bay Area,
and
back
down.
Cali is with it.
You
understand? Listen, I'm
pretty sure
inside.
Sodiq trains in Texas, though.
I mean, I don't even like Texas.
How
you know
can
what
you
I'm
not
saying?
Like Texas?
I ain't never been there, and I haven't had the barbecue yet.
I sit alone in my room watching candles. Mm. Yo, is this on?
That's right. I do like.
Come on, Houston, son.
I'm tripping.
Thank you.
I'm tripping. But yeah. I'm just saying, I'm conflicted. I'm still going. But you know what though?
I'm conflicted myself.
I'm from the West, bruh. Yeah. Andre, do it, dog. Sadiq, bruh, you know what I'm saying? I got love for you, blood. I'm not saying I want you to get knocked out. I just rep the West. It's not you.
I have no disrespect. If Brain was here, he'd be like, how can you root against the Hawaiian? He's probably saying this right now in our chat. Mm. I have nothing but respect. And, you know, one of the ideas behind this show is to really highlight the local ecosystem of MMA that we have.
But man, this is one of the meccas in the world for MMA, jiu-jitsu, for judo, for kung fu. And you got to come to the Bay, dog.
And it's not just the Bay. It's like the Bay is the center, but if you drive 2 hours outside of the Bay, right, in a circle, they're just, that whole continuum has amazing camps.
Fresno?
Right? Fresno.
Fresno got killers, man. Modesto, Gilroy? What's up to my man, Paul? Paul.
Right.
What's up, dog? I remember, bro.
Just murderers, right? So, but I don't think this fight goes well for Andre Feely. I think he's going to get knocked out in the second round. Once Usyk finds his range, it's going to be bad.
Look, what I have to do because of the civil war inside of me is just call it any given Sunday. Whoever comes there clear-minded will win. And then we won't know that until they ring the bell.
Okay. This next fight has nothing to do with your civil war, but it has my own civil war going on.
Talk to me.
Roxanne Modafferi.
Mm-hmm.
Talks like my mother.
Whoa.
And my mother, most people don't know this, is a judoka. So I have martial arts lineage.
Your mom had real judo skills?
Yeah, bro. San Jose State.
Shut up. Wow. She was a savage. San Jose State has been making some of the best judokas.
From the 50s.
In
early
North
squad.
America, man.
My mom's early squad. My mom, when she was getting her PhD at Cal in the 60s, she used to get followed by men because they were like, yo, I'll kill women trying to school.
Trying to holler, right.
And she's like, you know, not only can I break you.
She was dipping fool's blood.
But she also was a cop. So she's like, I will cap you in your neck.
Slam you and then pop you.
Yeah, she was like, that was her attitude. Wow. And then she had a squad of women who would walk with her because they only felt like, because you're not going to get security at those
times. Of course.
So that's like a lot of my passion for martial arts comes
from
my mom.
Deep, man. Yeah. Mad respect. Shout out to San Jose State, though.
So speaking of which, shout out to Hector El Matador Farajado coming out of that program, too. My young homie. So Roxanne, she's come into the UFC. Been kicked out, gone back to Invicta, come through tough again,
right.
Come back in, fought her way. She's just tenacious.
Right.
She's got the martial arts warrior spirit. She always congratulates her opponents.
It.
She messages her opponent. It's like, here's how to weight cut. Like, her spirit is everything I love about martial arts.
Can we just say...
Sometimes she's too naive, though. Yeah.
But can we just say, like, what a blessing all of the women in MMA have been to the sport.
100%.
To the sport.
100%, because they are inspiring other women to want to train.
Imagine all of the fights
that
we wouldn't have seen if there weren't women in the game, bro.
100%.
I want to just thank every woman in MMA, judo, boxing, wrestling. Please don't stop.
From Gina Carano up to Amanda Nunes.
All the way.
Speaking of which, trivia moment.
Yes.
You guys probably watched a show over the break called The Mandalorian.
I didn't see it yet.
You didn't see it, but Double D did. And the rest of Cage Cousins did. You probably didn't know that the girl rebel fighter on there is a woman named Gina Carano, who was a Strike Force champion.
I saw her on the red carpet, though.
Yeah, she's a pioneer of women's MMA. Roxanne Modafferi is about to fight one of the more violent women in MMA named Macy Barber.
First of all, how cool is it that her name is Macy Barber, and that sounds so cute, but she is a Tasmanian devil.
Bro, she's perfectly named.
Hi, Macy.
You may see a barber when she fights.
Boop.
You're going to get cut, you're going to get faded, and you're going to get shaved.
Can you imagine if you're like, hey, look, I'm with somebody. Her name is Macy. You don't want no problems. I don't care.
Right.
I want to holler at you anyway. No, you don't understand.
No,
Macy comes through. Macy.
I would.
Beep, bop, boop, bap, boop.
Ooh. I would leave. Yeah, no, I would be like, no, this is what's good for you. Leave me alone.
Yeah, because
so my girlfriend you're about does not to get strangle mopped. You. Yeah, I would leave. I would leave me alone.
Yeah, man, Macy Barber. So at the end of the day,
but if she who rolled up, really if she rolled up on though? You,
yeah,
like she might intimidate you though. It might be a Me Too moment.
Let me tell you something.
Hey, Macy's not that scary. These, bro. If Macy came up and was like, yo, you're mine now, you might have to
do it. Not the Iron Hook assassin, bro. You know what I'm saying?
You got.
But she's got hands, though.
Look at her clench, bro. She's scary.
So who do you think is going to win this then?
It's Macy, bro. Because I love... Okay. My ignorance may show.
Go ahead.
Roxanne has incredible jiu-jitsu and mm-hmm. really knows how to fight off her back.
Mm-hmm.
But... Macy's wrestling and her power.
I was going to say her clinch game is
I
better.
Just don't believe that Roxanne will be able to, if she gets on her back, I don't believe that she will be able to sweep or cut her with elbows or do anything enough to stop Macy Barber's ground and pound assault.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you 120%. I think that if Roxanne can land some shots before it goes to the ground, here's what I'm gonna say. Roxanne has to do damage before they go to the ground with hands, yes. standing, bing, 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 so that when it goes to the ground, Macy doesn't have the clarity right. or the wind, like the mental clarity right. or the wind to fight the way she can fight. But if Macy can lock up quick and toss her down,
done. And I haven't seen anything out of Roxanne that shows me that she knows how to do that.
The only thing, though, is that because we haven't seen her in a minute, she may have added some things to her arsenal. She may have added some game. But on paper right now, it looks like Macy Barber is going to win. May not be a walk in the park, but will win clearly.
Yeah, no. Macy is a danger. That's just going to be a problem. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you with that one. Our next fight, Anthony Pettis versus Diego Ferreira. The last time we saw Anthony Pettis, he was the sacrificial lamb to Nate Diaz to open up the BMF belt. Not really sure that he should be fighting at 170, even though he did take out Wonder Boy and the only person to take out Wonder Boy in MMA. Diego Ferreira, I wonder, is this a tune-up fight? If it goes to the ground... Diego's jiu-jitsu is fearless.
I think if I'm right, though, Anthony Pettis just was awarded his black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Right, yes.
Now,
yes.
At this level, I'm just going to be honest, it may not matter. Like, he was already good. Like, I'm not discounting his black belt. I'm saying, to me, he probably was already black belt level before it was technically handed to him.
Yeah.
Right? No disrespect to his instructor. I'm just talking about, like, in MMA, belts kind of don't matter sometimes.
Right.
And Anthony Pettis has shown a lot. My thing is, I feel like he's just been in the game too long. I feel like he's at the beginning of his descent, and that's no disrespect.
No.
In MMA, I feel like he's at the beginning of his descent, and I'm not sure whether it's weight class, whether it's just... road, you know, like the wear and tear from being in the game.
Agreed.
I don't know.
100%. And still remember, this is the guy who not only knocked out Benson Henderson with a cage kick, but then when they saw each other again, came back off an injury and choked him out.
He's got crazy. No, not choked
him
out.
He submitted him with was it a triangle?
I think it was his leg. I think it was
from the
bottom,
right?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was incredible.
But he's a G.
And Benson Henderson wins tournaments that this guy doesn't. So
it's not even about whether or not Pettis is a G or not. Yeah. I just think that he may be just enough past his prime to not make it past Diego Ferreira.
Right.
That's all.
And I also feel like, you know, a lot happens. You start making money, you open your own gym.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, right? So after that, we have Claudia Gadea versus Alexa Grasso.
I don't know Alexa at all.
Trains with Irene Aldada.
Okay.
Hands, those Mexican hands I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. Mexican girl hands.
Hey.
Nasty boxing.
If you don't really understand Mexican girl hands, go to Netflix, look up Fight World and watch Mexico City. I think it's the first one. And you will see girls
with
hammers.
Yes.
And that's all I'm saying.
A couple of things. We've said it before. One of the interesting things is typically in boxing, One of the techniques that came in the last sort of 40 years is you turn over the hand, right? Which adds speed, but it also, when you turn over the fist, gives you more damage, right? What's interesting about the Mexican jab is they don't turn the hand, so they get speed. It's like a
Jeet Kune Do kind of?
Yes, right.
Yeah, Bruce Lee style.
Bingo. Aren't you proud of me?
That was great. That was well done.
Let's see.
That was great.
I'm moving through it. Do you see? Do you see?
2020 is here.
I'm evolving, bro.
2020.
I'm growing.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Claudia, man, I'm a fan.
So you know her history, right? Claudia came out of Nova Unión, right?
With Nova Unión, the new union.
Right. And then after not being able to get through JJ, she has traveled, did Jackson Winklejohn. She has moved over to Mark Henry's gym. So she is with Frankie Edgar, Zabit, Muslim Sokolov, Corey Anderson.
What do we know about Grasso's ground? Does she have anything on the ground?
She's got some nasty jiu-jitsu.
Really?
Yeah, she does. So what's interesting is this is Claudia's fight to lose. If Claudia goes in there and is the programmable animal, and let me just introduce that concept this year.
The programmable animal.
What's an example of that? Corey Anderson. Remember I called that?
Yeah,
I said it's going to be a bad night for Yanni Walker.
You did.
I said it's going to be a bad, bad night for Yanni Walker. He walked in there and did exactly what his coaches told him to do. And you can watch it. You can hear him. You don't know what the combos were. I could go back and listen to it, but I think he was saying something like, no, that was something else. That was Volkanovski. They kept saying dragon for his leg kick. But he, whatever they were saying, you know, they're like, 3-5-7. He was doing whatever they told him.
Hey, pop.
He
know what?
Lit that man up.
Let me tell you, BJ Penn told me that's one of the most important skills that a fighter can have is to be coachable in that moment.
If they say shoot,
you got to shoot. Not hesitate and look and then set up the shoot.
Like,
if they go shoot,
what do they mean shoot? Right.
Right.
And you should be like a second before they say shoot.
Yeah. If they go hands, like as soon as you hear the HA, you're already unloading. Right?
Programmable animal. If she is that, the way Corey Anderson was, it's a bad night for Alexa Grasso.
Right.
Because similar to the fight before Anthony Pettis, Claudia has a lot of mileage on her body.
She does.
Weight cuts, damages, fights.
Yep.
Travel.
No, you're right. So. And I'm a fan of her. You know who turned me on to her was actually my son was following her page. And he was like, hey, Pop, check this girl out, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, word for real? And I was like, impressive. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
but
also,
that was a while ago, to your point. That's
she
my
was
point.
Not only a monster, but she was one of the first sort of like marketable, like,
yeah,
oh, she's cute. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly.
Our next fight of the main card is Alexei Oleinik, who is masterful, who should be called Alexei Ezekiel Choke.
Really?
Oleinik, yeah.
Is he the one that did the Ezekiel from there?
He does the Ezekiel every fight. He's like on a 6-fight Ezekiel Choke streak.
Hey. This is horrible self-promotion. If you go on to Google and you put in Adisa chokes out opponent, you'll see me choke a guy out while mounted. I'm mounted, and I Ezekiel choke the guy.
Oh, that's ill. I was down
9 points. My point is the Ezekiel is a great choke, and most people don't know how to get out of it. They don't. They don't know how to get out of it. There's a few ways to get out, but most people don't know it, and if that's what he's good at, I hope Maurice Greene is ready.
Maurice Greene, from what I saw on Tough, is a very competent kickboxer.
Mm.
Also, he's very good at crochet.
Crochet, you say? Like hats, or are we talking about sweaters?
All of the above. Wow. All of the above.
I'm going to hook him up with my mom.
Yeah, he would give Dream Nephra a run for her money.
Dream!
Shout out to Dream.
Shout out.
However, I have seen Maury struggle when he gets on the ground. Surprise, surprise. Oleinik, Russian wrestler. What do you think he's going to try to do?
He's going to dump this fool on his neck and then get the mount.
Absolutely.
And then there it goes.
So, Maurice, if you're listening, if you don't knock this man out or at least keep him at the end of your kicks and outpoint him, you're going to lose this fight. That was our main card. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hey, when we get back, we're going to have a real conversation.
We're going to have a real conversation. I am the Sweet NBA. I am joined by
Adisa the Bishop.
We are produced by Deshaun Davis for Dream Ear Productions.
Dream Ear, bro.
The rebirth is here. It's real. Season 3. We'll be right back.
It's going down.
You know back. What? You know what else is back? After this podcast, I'm going to go home. Double D and Adisa is going to go eat some food they shouldn't. Probably be pancakes, strudel, a whole bunch of gluten.
Hey, remember I just said this. Look, I'm saying it on the show. I've given up bread.
Really? Wait a minute. What? He's given up the gluten? I've given up my little side comments about...
And Deshaun can tell you, okay, when we go to the restaurant,
yeah,
by myself, I eat two loaves on top of my meal.
I eat two loaves.
Because I don't eat the bread.
He doesn't eat the bread, and I will eat all the bread and then say, I need another one, and eat my meal, bro.
You are black. I am aware.
A little bit.
Bread is comfort in our community.
But I'm getting rid of it, bro. Because you know what? I ate so much sugar the other day. This is a true story. I felt like I had chest pains.
Yeah, you're itching.
No. It was like a chest pain, but I was like, it's below. I was like, what is there? And so I get on my phone. I'm like, human anatomy, like show me a drawing, bruh.
Pancreas.
It was my pancreas, bro. I said, fool, you have taken in so much sugar.
Hi, this is your pre-diabetes talking.
Yes. And I said, you know what? It has to end.
Welcome. Come on in. This is wellness. He gave up bread. I'm so proud of you.
So if you when see you do me a tournament bread, this year, I need you to check me. If you see me, like, be like, blood, I thought that was it, because I really need to stop, and I'm asking for your help.
Hey, look, no disrespect. I've been known to drink the Cloud Scroll tea. Mm. But I guarantee you,
yes,
this year, if you go to a tournament, if you keep bread out of your diet, your weight cut will be, like, you'll have maybe 3 pounds to cut.
Dude, yeah, I'm letting go, man.
It'll change your game.
I'm letting go.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do, because generally, I don't know if I've talked to you guys about this. What I did to change my life, and I don't, for if you're new listeners, you probably don't know this. When I started Cage Against the Machine with Deshaun and Jaw and Brain, I was about 260 pounds. I generally would have to rest every 10 flights of stairs. I walked with a cane, and I was very sick and would pass out sometimes. Mm. I'm currently around 160 pounds.
Unbelievable.
I can run about 3 miles in 30 minutes.
Unbelievable.
I do 3 hours of hardcore Sancho. I can probably roll with this guy for 40 minutes. Is that being honest?
Yeah.
Okay. I do 1 hour and 30 minutes of hot yoga. And a lot of that changed by how I ate. And the first thing was, because my wife and I both have, trouble with autoimmune, she introduced me to something called the Walls Protocol, and it introduced me to a concept called anti-inflammatory paleo.
So what does that mean? Anti-inflammatory paleo, what does it mean?
So out of my diet, let's do percentages, okay? Let's say there's parts of, let's do percentages, and I'm going to assume most of you guys know percentages. If you message me or DM me and say, I don't get what this percentage thing, I am a master teacher.
He is.
I'm a master teacher. I will find a way to make it relevant to you. I promise. We could talk about selling trees. We could talk about other stuff. I will find a way to make it relevant.
Selling trees?
Out of a percentage, okay? 90% of what I put in my body is dark, leafy, green vegetables that crunch when you chew them.
Right. This is salads.
And what? And
kale.
Kale, spinach.
Swiss chard.
Broccoli, Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts are good. If you put coconut oil on the joints and put them in the oven with a little bit of cracked pepper and
what I mean? Making me hungry.
Come on, man.
And you know what's the ill one I found? Hmm. Nutritional yeast. You could sprinkle that on there.
Nutritional yeast is so good,
and it fools you into thinking that it's cheese.
Oh, yes. My God.
Sneaky. And Deshaun.
And you can get that at any store.
I got the come up next time you come over.
Yeah.
I found a gluten-free chip that tastes like Doritos, but it's not.
Please stop playing.
No, ask him. And it's
that's factology?
And it comes with like a cashew cheese. So it's like you're having nachos. Bro, it's incredible. But you can read the package and you're like, it's not right.
You live right it's by not, my job. I'm coming
through. Yeah, it's not cheap, but it's not right.
Yeah.
Did I even tell you that I found you by your job, vegan paleo gummy bears? I swear on my mother and my wife and my father.
Don't play with me, bro.
He's had them. And they're Sour Patch Kids.
I get on planes to the UK.
I got
just
you.
Just to go get gummy bears that they don't have in the States.
No, I got you.
That's addiction.
I got you. I'm going to show this to you. You're going to.
Okay.
And it's literally walking distance from the job. And
so tell me how this anti-inflammatory, I need to understand.
So 90% of it is that vegetable.
Right.
The other 5% of it is a protein.
What? Any protein? Like, no. Can it be meat? It can be meat.
It can be meat. There are meats I will never eat.
Swine, pig, dig. Listen to the flow of a so-called Negro. Hey, wicked. We're just not eating pork is what we're talking about.
Half cat, half dog, poison animal, you should ban them all. I grew up in the culture, and I got knowledge of self at 16, and I gave up the pig.
Word is bomb.
You don't have to not eat the pig.
You do have to not eat the pig.
I'm not going
to
tell you how to live your life.
I'm going to tell you how to live
your life. If you're serious about kung fu.
If you're serious about living, boy.
You can see how many Taoist monks and Buddhist Shaolin priests don't eat the pig. Mm-mm. Don't trust me. Do your own research. You don't have to eat. You don't have to. I'm not going to convert you.
I'm not going
to try to tell you what to do. You have your own right who to listen to. You know, good from bad, right from wrong.
Man, okay. I was thinking about that song today. So
then the last 5% is grains, and I'm gluten-free. So
talk to me about these gluten-free grains. I need to get clear.
Quinoa.
Okay, I like quinoa already. I'm really good at cooking quinoa, and it's really good, and what I've noticed is if you cook quinoa and you cook it in, like, chicken broth or vegetable broth or beef broth.
Tell them.
It's fantastic.
Tell them, soldier boy.
Like, not even kind of good. It's fantastic. Tell them. It's fantastic. Sauteed vegetables with that, like onions, garlic, carrots, mushrooms, and put that on top. Come on. It's ridiculous.
Tell
them. So we're not talking about stuff that is not tasty. We're not talking about stuff that is like, oh, why am I eating this instead? You will be happy with how it tastes, but more important, you'll be happy with how you feel.
Wow, be savage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tell them. Tell
them.
Brown rice.
I'm all about that. Had that today at the Great Wall.
Because we should talk about that. I want to take you to Yim.
Have
you seen that? It's across the street from you.
Really?
Yeah, Yim. It's next to that Japanese spot.
The Ori Triangle spot?
Farther down. Keep going towards Phil's.
Oh, I can't see it.
Look for it. Y-I-M-M. They got this stuff called rice berry.
Really?
So it's a brown rice. It tastes like brown rice.
Right.
But it was soaked in hibiscus, but it comes that way. It's from Thailand.
What?
It's brown rice consistency, but it tastes like it's been soaked in hibiscus. It's incredible.
Oh, wow.
I'll take you there for lunch.
All right. It's going down.
So
the idea is you don't get internal inflammation if you eat this way.
Correct.
Is that what the point is?
Correct. And that's how I lost all the weight and I got more energy.
Mm-hmm.
And my goal for 2020, hopefully if I do it, is I want to actually tick up my...
The burn?
I want to tick up my vegetables.
Okay.
So maybe like 95% and turn down the meat.
I'm almost done with meat. I'm not done, but
I'm
very
close,
man. I'm very close.
That's my answer. You asked me, did you watch Game Changers? I'm almost done with Game Changers. My answer is, I'm turning it down, but here's my response. I'll say this on the record. And this, I didn't get this. I got this from a very brilliant man by the name of Faraz Sahabi.
Okay.
Who knows a thing or two about training people?
He might.
He said...
I heard he's up.
I heard he's pretty good. He said anybody could do a battle rope for an hour. It's just boring.
Interesting.
So it doesn't matter how much vegetables you ate. That's a bad test. And again, we do this a lot of times in martial arts, is we're so passionate about proving a technique...
Works.
...that we use a really bad scientific method to prove it.
Right.
Okay? So back to what I was talking about... That's kind of like the eating stuff. And so my other goal is I kind of want to tick up my vegetable intake.
Is there anything you drink or do not drink? Let me ask you about that.
I haven't had a soda in 5 years, which is hard because, again, you know, I used to love Chinese food with like a ginger ale.
Ooh.
I mean, I'm part Jamaican. I love ginger beer.
Mamba clot.
I love ginger beer, but I can't do it.
Barely eat drink sodas myself. I've switched out sodas for kombuchas.
Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Have we talked about CBD kombucha?
You told me about it.
I owe you. I'm so wrong. I owe you.
We talked about it last time we hung out, but I haven't had it yet.
What else? I personally, I don't know if this counts.
Right.
I walked away from a year after my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's and they told me he had 2 years to live. I walked away from hard liquor.
Yeah, I was a young alcoholic, so I stopped drinking.
Yeah, I have not touched hard liquor since. I think the one exception was on my wedding. Somebody handed me a shot of vodka, and I thought it was wine.
So you just took it?
I thought it was wine. They said, can I get you anything? I said, get wine. And they gave me that instead.
And, you just...
and then I was standing on a table and Deshaun and my wife were looking at me and I was like, oh, it must've been vodka. I'm sitting back. I'm gonna behave. Like I shouldn't be up here rapping
so
because I'm scaring people.
I'm gonna give you and the Cage Cousins a sure shot way to lose weight this year.
Okay.
Proven. So a lot of people drink green tea, right? Or they take green tea pills and be like, I'm trying to lose weight. And then you have people that'll drink oolong tea, right? And they'll go, oh, I'm trying to lose weight. So a study was done. What is better to lose weight, green tea or oolong? And what they found was combining the oolong with the green tea helps you lose weight faster than drinking either by themselves.
Hold on, real quick. You ready? What's better? Jiu-jitsu or chess?
Put them together.
Oh, wait, hold on. What's better? Striking or grappling?
MMA! Right? And so, oolong tea, which also is known as Kuan Yin, K-U-A-N-Y-I-N, Kuan Yin tea, with any green tea, will help you lose weight faster than drinking either tea by themselves.
And don't steal that, because it's trademarked, and what's the name that the great master called it?
Cloud Scroll Tea.
Cloud
Scroll Tea. You go follow at Bishop Chronicles, or you go listen to, I think, episode that covered 244 of the UFC, I give you the recipe for Cloud Scroll Tea, and it will absolutely help you lose weight. I promise you, I'm telling you.
And be responsible. You can't be drinking Cloud Scroll Tea and then just, like, eat three loaves of bread and expect results. Because that's what y'all do.
That's
and then you
fair.
Message me.
That's fair.
And if somebody who's not about this life, who wants to, like, do cocaine all night, wants to drink this tea, you know what you tell them? Never teach the secret.
Mm-mm. But if you go on IG, if you just go hashtag Cloud Scroll, you'll see the recipe. But I want you to cut weight. All right.
So
let's get on with the real fight stuff, though.
We are now on to our co-main event.
Listen,
all right.
I love women in MMA doing what they do best, and I think someone's gonna be really hurt when this fight finishes.
We have the preacher's daughter Holly Holm versus Raquel Rocky Pennington.
Hey, man.
This is a very interesting fight. When was the last time we saw Holly Holm? The last time we saw Holly Holm was getting knocked out by her own technique at the length of Amanda Nunes' kick. Which, by the way, let's circle this back. We did not fully unpack this.
Unpack it some more.
I want to make sure I understood you better.
Yep.
Amanda Nunes claims in the post-fight press conference that she just started learning to strike under Dean Thomas.
Right.
That she's a grappler at her heart.
Right.
From what I'm hearing and I'm seeing from you, she should not have had that much trouble with Durandamé. Is that what I'm understanding you're
saying? In my complete unflinching opinion, the grappling that I saw her do that night did not appear to me, and I'm just a mere brown belt, never won a world title, you know, I'm just a brown belt. I saw her seem frustrated by things that I understand to be very fundamental. It could be that I'm just not in the cage and, you know, real life situations like you not, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm telling you is her opponent was able to nullify and neutralize her from very dominant positions. In fact, she almost got triangle choked. Remember when she almost got triangle choked?
So
that was unacceptable. So, and she didn't escape the triangle choke because she was sick with it.
Right.
It's just that she kind of like lost her grip on the arm, man. I was disappointed in all of the ground fighting. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, ooh, she going to take her down. She couldn't pass her guard.
Yeah.
How long was she in that guard and didn't even attempt to pass?
I feel like, what's that?
Didn't have a ground and pound thing either. So it wasn't just that, oh, she couldn't pass the guard. She didn't attempt to pass, but she wasn't ground and pounding either.
No.
She looked stuck.
So one of these, there's two premises that got us here.
Mm-hmm.
One is Jermaine got that much better at jiu-jitsu and grappling and wrestling in that 6 years.
Now, here's what I was told.
Or,
I got on Facebook and said what I just told you.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone hit me and said, I trained with her. Her jiu-jitsu is better than you think.
So Jermaine has always been that good.
Yeah, at least. But they say that, yeah. So.
So her jiu-jitsu has always been that good. Her grappling has always been that good. And it's not that Amanda fell off.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, never mind then.
Yeah.
I was going to go a different direction. Dude,
right.
Like
Vin, yeah, so that.
Dude on TMZ when he got mad at Kanye.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm disappointed and I'm upset that you said it. And
But I said, you know what? And it's someone, who's really sick in jiu-jitsu. And so I said, you know what? I have to defer to you if you train with her and if you see her.
Yeah, I have to.
You know what I mean?
Because I, man, that was hard to watch because I love Amanda, but also for Jermaine being of my tribe, it's like I would love us to have a champion.
But it also says one thing though. We may have seen. I remember when Royce Gracie fought against Chemo.
Yeah.
Right? What did Chemo do? Chemo made Royce Gracie human.
Yes.
You thought he was like Superman, bro. This dude was just choking everybody. And now Nunes has been humanized.
Have you ever seen Iron Man 2?
Yes.
Remember when he asked Whiplash? He's like, why are you doing this? He's like, I want them to know that God can bleed.
Man.
And I think that was, we've seen that moment in each division.
Come on.
We've seen that in several divisions. Like, we saw Chael Sonnen, as amazing as it was for him to lose to Silva.
Yeah.
He opened the door to show that there was a weakness for Silva.
Come on. And it made Silva really stay on point.
You will see many times that these people come in against the tyrants of the division and they bleed them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Preview.
Yeah.
I think that's all Reyes will do against Jones. He's just going to show the tyrant has a weakness. Mm. He will not win. Corey Anderson will beat him. But I think you see these tyrants come in and say, here's the way in. Dustin Poirier just did it to Max Holloway.
Yes. So
I like Max Holloway. When he runs it back against Volkanovski, it ain't going to go any better for him.
Not at all.
Right? And I think
he, like Pettis, is a little bit past his prime.
I think.
I think he made it out of that fight. If I'm really be honest, I'm happy that he won, but
I think
he's still over
I think Whitaker exposed Romero. I think you see it over and over again that these people kind of like the God can bleed, and then if you double down and train, you will get him.
And I think that Nunes now, who had to go through all the rounds, right? Now, I was juiced for her. I'm not hating her. I'm a big, serious fan. But I was like, girl, you almost got taken out like 3 times.
Straight up.
3 times.
And clearly, the damage was on her face. The fight was there.
And let me tell you, if I'm blanking on her name, who is the lady that she fought right now? Nunes' last opponent.
Jermaine Durandamay.
Okay. If Jermaine trains hardcore jiu-jitsu or just does like no-gi 10th Planet for like 6 months.
Yeah.
With those long legs, good night.
Yeah.
Not just Nunes, anybody.
Yeah, agreed.
You know what I mean?
Here's what's interesting. Holm did not last 2 rounds with Nunes.
Which was unbelievable. I thought that was going to be an arm burn.
Knocked out with our own technique on some Anderson stuff, okay? Raquel Pennington fought 5 rounds with Nunes.
She did. You're right. I forgot that. It was true.
Took her down. Former training partner. And would not stop.
You're right. I forgot. I thought that Jermaine made her go all 5, and you're right.
No. Jermaine did go 5 rounds.
But first.
First.
She made her go
first. She's the first. And she was bloody, but she didn't back up. She was on her front of her foot.
Stayed forward. So basically, we're looking at an atomic fight.
So she, but if she does that same thing to Holly, we know Holly's weakness is grappling. She's going to get taken down.
And then she's going to get tapped.
She's going to get touched. The same thing that Holly Holm did to Megan Anderson, Raquel Pennington is going to do to her in a short time. My bet is that Raquel Pennington wins by submission in the 3rd round.
Ooh. I can't believe you really did that because I'm so conflicted. You know what? Just to kick up dust, because I like to, Holly Holm's going to KO Raquel. Wow. In the 2nd.
Wow. Interesting. Very interesting.
I'm going to raise the bar.
Game changers.
Meatless.
Game changers. Vegan laptops.
Vegan beatdowns. Man, I think
Holly Vegan Holm, airplane reservations.
Man, I'm saying, I think Holly Holm got the heat rocks.
She did. She has hands, but that's just not enough.
2nd round, bro.
It's just not enough. You're fighting MMA, man. You better have some other stuff.
Look, we know that that is a great weakness of hers. I think that her leg kicks will, and I think that she's gonna have a good clinch. I believe in her clinch game.
Who?
For striking.
Yeah, but I just again, Holly doesn't have the finishing power that way. Her finisher is the kick.
That's probably true.
And she's only, her kick is only really good at people who don't have boxing. Ronda Beach.
Yeah. Holly Holm, I still got you, girl. Yep. Second round of KO.
All right, you know what we do, Cage Cousins. We're going to go pay a bill. We'll be right back afterwards to give you this main event.
Woo!
I'm the Sweet NBA. I'm joined by
Adisa the Bishop Westside.
Much thanks to Double D for making this happen. We'll be right back. Cage Cousins.
We're back.
We are back. Bass, how low can you go? Death what a brother know? It's crazy. Every time you say death row, it just triggers the hip hop mind.
I know.
Do we go to Public Enemy or do we go to the last of?
Or we go to like two.
Nothing but a gangster party. Yeah, dude. It's amazing. Like when we be 70 and somebody will say something and it will just trigger like nine videos.
Bro, like when I'm in my medical bed and be like beep,
yeah,
beep, and somebody be like death row, and I'd be like, what up, brother? No,
right.
Like, that's how like people from our generation will when we're in like old folks' homes, we will spontaneously spit bars from classic raps.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like that one meme where she's like, like the girl's in bed. She's like, I wonder what he's thinking about. And he's like, yo, I wonder if they actually caught Coogee rap after the On the Run video.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like all the stories, the videos is like to be continued,
man.
And you never got a second video.
You know what I'm saying?
It's wrong.
Those were great.
You know what? I also, one of my great challenges in life that I feel is unfair, as what? I try to explain our era to Deshaun, he never got to see the box, much less the box talk.
Wow.
He has no idea how instrumental the box, like the box and the box talk for 90s hip hop.
Was
the original Instagram, bro.
It really was.
It really was. Like your favorite rapper, you would pay $4 to see your favorite rapper talk trash for 10 minutes in a liquor store.
Come on, man.
It made no sense.
Rappers were posting their phone numbers.
Bro.
Calling fools back. Remember when Ice Cube posted his phone number?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Griffin. The Griffinstein. Hey, you should interview this guy.
What's up,
you should man? Interview this guy. Get him on your show. He has a great podcast
show.
About what are you doing different? He's just trying to get people to talk about what are you doing different.
Oh, man.
I love that energy.
I got some different stuff.
Who else? Let's see. Who else is on there? My producer is giving me that look. Don't you move out of the shot.
Yeah, don't move.
Don't
out
you
out.
Ruin my aspect ratio.
Don't do it.
We've trained you. Thank you very much, everybody else tuning in. You
What's
know
up,
who we
y'all?
Are. Cage Against the Machine, round zero. We're talking about UFC 246.
In the mix.
Donald Cerrone versus Conor McGregor.
All right, man.
And now, that moment you've been waiting for, I've been waiting for, you all love.
It
is now time for the main event of the evening. I'm not going to do the rest of it. What I will say is this is a very interesting moment of brands. And let me tell you, on so many levels,
what
I'm
do you
excited
mean,
about
bro?
This fight.
What do you mean?
This fight is Budweiser versus Proper 12.
Wow.
This fight is cannabis versus cocaine.
Wow.
This fight is the United States versus Ireland, which I personally am very excited about. I cannot wait to see. I'm not going to go and watch this in public. If you're going to watch this in public, you should go to Seawolf at Fourth and Webster in Oakland, which is our second home. I will not be there because I cannot watch Conor McGregor fights in public because his fan base wants me to knock them out, and I don't want to be violent.
Wow.
So I watch it in private because every time I go in public – they try to start
They be
a fight.
Rowdy, though. His fans are rowdy. His fans are like Raiders fans, which I kind of admire. I do admire his fans. I mean, they be hella out of hand, but like I've had partners of mine tell me they was in
Niners
Vegas.
Fans ain't no better. That's why I don't watch football. They both rowdy.
But Raiders fans are way more rowdy than Niners.
They're both rowdy. How many videos you seen of Niners fans beating up other Niners fans? That's how rowdy
this
they are.
This is true.
Okay, point is, I don't do it in public. But if I were to go in public, what would be exciting to me is some good old boys in cowboy hats chanting USA at an Irishman. Not because I believe in hate or racism. I like equality. So if you want to continue to point out that people are outsiders, I'd like to see Irish Conor McGregor get that same treatment. The same way that I watched 8 years of UFC and watched black Americans get have people chant USA when they're in the ring. That's because they have a different name.
That's deep.
Or somebody like, you know, remember the name Bilal Muhammad, who is from Chicago, Illinois, but because his last name is Muhammad, we're going to chant USA.
Right.
I want to see that same energy for the guy from the UK. Chant that USA. And Donald Cerrone is the guy to do it.
Absolutely.
Donald Cerrone is the guy to bring them out to chant again. But what will be interesting is the good old boys think he's on his side. And when he walks out with, like, all his camp is all black.
Right. But here's the deal.
Yes.
At the end of the day, for real, if you had to bet your house, for real, on who was going to win, who do you choose?
Got it. Okay.
And why?
Let me explain. This is what we do. Ever since Anderson Silva broke his leg, I had to teach myself not to get emotionally connected to fighters.
Okay.
Because I can't take it. I've had one unfortunate exception is my time in New Zealand because I was so well treated by City Kickboxing.
City.
I just could not, you know, when it comes to Izzy, Dan,
right,
and Alex and Kai and all those guys, I would always rep them, you know, just because they're cool to me, okay, and very kind. Now, in this fight, I have no, like, my heart would like Donald Cerrone to win because I want to rub McGregor out.
Right.
So all I can do to protect myself is talk about if each fighter is to win, here's what it's going to look like.
Okay.
That's my strategy.
So let's start with if Conor is to win, what does it look like?
If Conor is to win, he needs to stay loose.
Right. Which he's good at.
No power.
Right. Loose and...
Loose.
Sharp.
Tag. Use a lot of sidekicks. Movement. Use the jab.
Body movement.
And not go for the knockout in the first round.
Right. Okay.
Don't, pardon my French, but I don't know any other way to say it. You can't blow the load.
Right.
Categorically, the places he's been caught is where he expects that he lands that stinger of a left hand. Statistically, that left hand has been right. Now, I know that's a little confusing to say the left hand has been right. Let's talk about it. There is a technique called fencing.
Right.
Okay? You know where I'm going with this. In the fencing, the idea is putting your dominant hand forward sets you up for a lot more attacks. This was popularized by Bruce Lee's attack method.
There's a whole book on that one punch.
Right.
There's a whole book written by a woman. I believe her name is Terry Tom. T-E-R-R-I-T-O-M.
And you could see this in many other people who train themselves, right? If their dominant hand is the right hand.
It's called a straight lead.
Yeah, they train it over to the other side so they have it. I'm not going to be a professional fighter, so I don't give it away. I know how to do that with my kicks, right?
So can I say to your point?
Yeah.
When Conor McGregor fought Mayweather,
yeah,
he used the straight lead to control the distance.
Yes.
And Mayweather didn't know how to manage it. One of the things that Mayweather was dealing with is he didn't know how, because you kind of leap forward and you pop with it.
Yes.
He did it to Mayweather like 50 times.
Right. It makes a very strong jab.
And it's an old school technique.
Right.
So Mayweather was like, what? You know what I mean? Seriously. Right.
And that's a great point, which is why I love that you're a student of the game. And the reason why McGregor couldn't follow up on it is because he couldn't kick.
Right.
So after he got into range, he didn't have anything to do. So he started doing those silly hammer fists to the side of the head.
Yeah, and it wasn't working.
Because he didn't have knees or any kicks to do.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So if McGregor's weakness, his strength is going to be that hand, which Cerrone knows. But if he can sty this out and use that hand towards the second to the third round, Cerrone is going to get comfortable and he's going to get caught.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay? The other thing that McGregor has to remember and look for is, obviously, he is binary. And I don't mean in terms of gender.
Right.
I mean when he does takedown defense, he does not strike well. When he strikes, he does not defend takedowns well. He's been exposed with this twice.
That's deep to note. Okay, here's one thing we've got to talk about in regards to Conor McGregor. A lot of people are talking about his jiu-jitsu coach. the infamous Dylan Danis, who I have no love for personally. That, you know, Dylan is saying that Connor's jiu-jitsu is top tier right now. That it's really grimy. And Dylan Danis, as much as I don't like him, comes out of the school of Marcelo Garcia.
Yeah.
And Marcelo Garcia is like the damn Jordan of the game. So, and he was one of his first beastie black belts.
He's also been kicked out of there too.
Yeah,
right?
He was kicked out. Shout out to Josh Waitzkin, the first black belt in America under
Let's
Marcelo
also
Garcia.
Add in that.
But I'm just saying that that Dylan Danis is saying that Conor McGregor's jiu-jitsu is through the roof right now.
Let's
so
also
what does
add
that mean okay. for Donald Cerrone's survival?
I will say this also. John Kavanaugh, who is the head coach over at SBG Ireland, Conor's coach, has also said that Conor kind of sets the practices because he knows more about fighting than anyone else. Okay. I also know a story that Kavanaugh put out of his own admission and Conor agreed with that when he first came to SBG.
What was that?
He was going too hard in sparring.
Okay.
And he started beating up, in fact, one of the girls. One of the girls who went into Tough.
Whoa.
Kavanaugh got in there and whooped Conor. Whoa. And that's what changed their relationship.
Whoa.
So do I think that this guy knows more, you know more than your coach?
Right.
I think that there's a troll farm that eats up this social media stuff.
Right.
And it's the Colton McGregor, and that Colton McGregor makes dollars.
Right.
And they say these things ahead of the fight. Danis and Kavanaugh don't believe these things. This is marketing. I don't believe it one bit. I don't believe that where's the evidence? Where was your jiu-jitsu against? Where was your jiu-jitsu against Nate? Non-existent.
Ooh.
Non-existent.
So you think he's probably just training with Dylan Danis just to not get destroyed, not to win with it.
I think he's still to get there.
Not to win with it, though, but to survive.
I think he trains. I've seen footage of him being at Henzo, New York.
Okay.
And doing stuff with Henzo and Danaher. But I've read Henzo say stuff that he's really good. He's just not as good as the rest of everybody in the UFC. And the proof is positive on it. He looks struggle. He struggles. He struggles
he
when you take
lost.
Him out.
He looks lost.
And it's not just because it's Habib. He looks lost on the two ground. Okay? Now, let's switch over to Cerrone.
Yeah.
How does Cerrone win this fight?
How does Cerrone win?
You take him down. But he knows he's going to look for it. You have to. Cerrone, if we saw what Cerrone did to Mike Perry and what he did to Aaron Hernandez, right? Cerrone's grappling is no joke, and his takedowns are fierce. And
they
that's
are.
Not just
They're
me
strong.
Saying it.
They're
this
strong.
Is, this is, you know.
They're strong.
A guy who knows a little thing about martial arts by the name of GSP, he says the same thing.
But let me ask you.
Yeah.
What are his hands like?
Here's the interesting part.
Against Conor McGregor.
Here's the interesting part. Cerrone tends to be a little bit robotic. And if he gets baited into a brawl, yeah, it's hard. If he gets baited into a brawl,
he'll get caught slipping.
He'll get caught slipping. It's that chin, bro. He just got knocked out by Gaethje 6 months ago.
And Conor McGregor is slippery.
As heck.
He's got great fluid movement.
And if you don't understand that, watch what he did to Eddie Alvarez.
Right.
How he changes cadence with the... You know, he'll tap you twice with the jab, hit you with the cross, and you think that's the power. And then the jabs come back, and they're even harder.
And he confuses you because you're like, I'm not really sure where it's coming from.
Right, and you think you're slipping, and the slip is actually moving you into his power.
Yeah.
And he's a southpaw.
So in order for Cerrone to win, then he's gotta take him down. And should he do that in the first round?
100%. But he knows that it's a chess game.
Right.
He knows that that's happening, so he knows that the takedown makes him a great target for that disgusting hand.
Right.
So you got to wait for Conor you got to wade through the storm for his power and distract him with stuff, right? So you got to have responses. Things you know about Conor is on the inside, he likes to throw that front sidekick to the belly,
right,
and he's using that to get range. You got to have a response for that immediately.
I also feel like Cerrone I think like Cerrone is a little bit more robotic. McGregor is more slippery. But I feel like if he can put hard damage on Conor in the first round, a lot of the rest of Conor's game won't work.
100%. And especially where you target it, right? Yeah. Where you target it. It's no secret that Conor's cardio has not been the best over time. Okay?
So and you gotta know how to go.
Yeah, I mean, also you gotta target, you gotta hit belly shots. That's one of the things that people don't really respect about Conor's game is why he targets that sidekick to the belly and why he does that spin stuff. And a lot of the actual success of the spin, it's not just the liver. He's adding stuff in the tank to take your tank.
And think about how Kamaru wouldn't have beaten Colby if he hadn't punished his body.
Correct. 100%.
He wouldn't have beat him 100%. At all.
100%.
Colby would have won that fight.
Yes.
Like, probably knocked Kamaru out.
I would say also, the thing that I don't think people understood, that's what Adesanya was doing to Gastelum.
Good point. Good point.
And strangely, when we look at Miocic, I think he hit Cormier assuming he could stop the gas tank, saw how weak he was in the belly and said, let's go to town.
Right.
That's
true. And that was such a sad thing to see.
Yeah, of course.
Because it shouldn't have happened. He should have had the win. He should have had the physical.
You know what my mom told me when I was a kid? She said, if you could change all the shoulds, then Shakespeare would have no career. Deep, wow. Right? What I go back to is Cormier's father died of cancer 2 days later.
That's true. His head wasn't there. He was a G just for fighting.
All I got to say is when that rematch happens, I know we just switched topics.
Right.
Y'all remember when Tiger Woods' dad died? Remember how he was looking when he was on the golf course? Yep. I feel bad for Miocic now. I feel very bad.
It's true. It's going
to
be crazy.
I mean, remember, it was so serious to where they had at UFC 245, they had Cormier and Felder talking about their dads.
Yeah.
You could see from the pain in his voice. Like, yeah. He's going to be a beast in the gym this year. Like, he's going to be hurting people. So
who do you have at the end of the day? You're removing your emotional connectivity and just trying to count the ones and the zeros. Who's winning and when?
I suspect Conor Cocaine McGregor wins by capitalism.
That was the worst thing you could say.
I know. I want you to prepare for the reality.
Tell me.
No, I'm just preparing you for the reality.
That Conor wins?
That Conor is probably going to knock out Cerrone in the second round. Because there's more money to be made on Conor McGregor and his toxic style of MMA.
What I'm wondering is, and I don't disagree with you, I just wonder, like, not that Cerrone doesn't deserve it, because that would, you know.
Obviously.
But I just wonder, if Dana White didn't know that Donald Cerrone couldn't win, would he have put him in?
If he thought Donald Cerrone was going to win, would he have put him in?
Exactly.
Okay, so let's go back to this. Let's think of it this way.
You understand?
I want you to think about it.
Are you listening?
I want you to think about it like a portfolio.
Right.
And let's think about them as like a bank. They used to make their money off toxic loans.
Right.
Okay? And they got 10 loans now. And they have two of those toxic loans left. One of them's named McGregor and one of them's named Jones.
Yep.
Now they got all these new loans and they pay back and they make more money and they're great. They're tech company. They're running it up. Right. They're named Adesanya.
Right.
They're named Volkanovski.
Right.
You know where I'm going with this? They play by the rules.
Yeah.
You know?
And they do good.
You know, we got a Usman so we can do UFC Nigeria.
Stocks are steady. Perfect.
Oh, this is great. So if I got these two little toxic loans, right, I'm going to put them in there and let them play out and get what they want. Man, I also got this other loan, right, by the name of Nurmagomedov.
Yeah.
Who, when he fights, not only does he get most of Eastern Europe, he gets the Muslim world watching.
Allahu Akbar.
So why do I need to protect my toxic loans anymore?
Right.
Right? I don't need to protect them anymore. You don't need it anymore. You don't need me. I don't need you. It ain't beef, but I don't need to protect you.
Right.
So it's a credible fight. If Cerrone gets through McGregor, Would you say that he's owed a title shot?
Without question.
Thank you. And if Cerrone loses to McGregor, is he going to make less money? No.
Yeah.
He was already paid. You see, it's a win-win. He can look at Cerrone after he gets knocked out and say, dude, you're like the second highest paid guy in my entire league.
Right.
I've taken care of you.
Right.
You've got a red panty night with Connor.
You're fine.
Flip side, Connor, I gave you the Mayweather thing.
Yeah.
Okay? I did this. I've done good by you. You want to fight some more? You got to change your life and take this seriously. But you're making whiskey and slapping old guys in bars and doing coke.
It's looking bad.
So if this is not your life, you know what I mean? Either way, from a business standpoint, he's free and clear.
If Conor McGregor loses to Cerrone, will he leave the game?
I believe no. I believe he will continue. How do I want to put this? I don't have the example.
Right.
I believe that he won't be a gatekeeper, but he will show up and knock people out and make his cult believe that he's a title contender.
That's really all they need
to see.
Right.
Right? I don't know who that is, but it's a bad analogy.
Do you think him and Habib will ever have a second? I don't think so.
No, because I think Habib's three fights away from leaving.
Me too.
And Habib even said, you better be on a 10-fight streak like I was.
Right.
I'd even argue that Habib's manager didn't want him to fight Tony, and he's only fighting Tony because he's a real martial artist. Like, this is legacy.
Yeah. I also think Habib's going to beat Tony, but that's for a different episode.
Controversy. We love it. This is what we do here. I've had fun. These are my friends. I've enjoyed it. We're going to get out of here.
We've enjoyed you.
UFC 246. If you don't know where to watch, you can watch on ESPN+. If you don't want to do that, you can go to Seawolf in Oakland.
Seawolf.
I'm going to take this one secretly for a while, and we'll be back in February. We'll watch it in public. We love you very much.
Thank you
for supporting.
Happy New Year.
We need
Thank
a couple things
watching.
From you guys. Subscribe, share, do these things. We
follow,
appreciate
wait,
you.
Wait, IG.
IG. You can follow us at Cage Against.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Yeah.
Cage Against.
Yeah.
Facebook. Join the group, the chat group.
For sure.
Like our page, Cage Against.
Yes.
T-shirts coming. New website up soon.
Merch. All of that.
You can also find this man at?
At Bishop Chronicles. At Bishop Chronicles. And you can subscribe to my podcast called Bishop Chronicles on Spotify, iTunes, and Libsyn, and Mixcloud.
If you have any questions you want us to say or answer on the air, please submit them for the next show. We'll do that.
Yeah, man.
Right?
We would love that.
Our show is recorded, edited, and put together by Deshaun Davis and Regis Jefferson at Dream Ear Productions. We appreciate them very much. Other than that, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Cage Cousins. And without further ado,
cheer!
West Side.